Good evening, everyone. I'd just like to start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this night, and we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you that you keep a covenant with us. Even when we fail you, you never break your covenant relationship with us. And we pray that you would open our hearts tonight to receive your word and help us to read your word and desire more of you and your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So tonight I'll be sharing from 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 20, and 1 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 34. So before we read the text, just give a very quick background from what we've been learning, that David's sacrifice was more pleasing than Saul, and Saul became very jealous, and he did not repent of this jealousy, which led him to become very angry and become murderous. And Saul continually sends David into battle, purposely to have him killed. And Saul even orchestrates a marriage to try to get him killed, but God protects him, and he kills 100 Philistines and wins the bride price. So just as a reminder of the covenant between David and Jonathan, after David slayed Goliath, and he finished speaking to Saul, scripture tells us that his soul was knit to David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him. He stripped himself of his robe and gave it to David. And this relationship we're going to be talking about it tonight. So before we go into the text, what's happening right now is that David had another successful battle, and Jonathan sees God's faithfulness, and Saul becomes very jealous. So now Saul is sending his son to kill David. So I'm just going to read, it's a lot of text, so we're just going to read through the text. Saul told his son Jonathan and all his attendants to go to David's house to kill him. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field. I'll speak to him about you, and I will tell you what I find out." Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?" Saul listened to Jonathan, and David returned to King Saul's presence as before. There was war again with the Philistines, and God gave David victory once again. Again, a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. He sat in his house with a spear in his hand, and David was playing the lyre. And Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent men to David's house to watch it and to kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, "If you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed." So Michal let David down through a window, and he fled and escaped. Michal took an image and laid it on the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair at his head and covered it with clothes. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Saul sent messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him down so I may kill him." And when the messengers came in, behold, the image was in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair at his head. Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me thus, and let my enemy go so that he escape?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" Now David fled and escaped, and he came to Samuel and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and lived at Naoth. It was told to Saul, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." Saul sent messengers to take David, and the Spirit of God came upon the messengers, and they prophesied. He sent other messengers. The Spirit of God came upon them, and they also prophesied. Eventually Saul went, and he also began to prophesy. Then David fled from Naoth at Ramah, and he went back to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to kill me?" "Never," Jonathan replied, "you are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without letting me know. Why would he hide this from me? It isn't so. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you." But David took an oath and said, "Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes, and he has said to himself, 'Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved.' Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only one step between me and death." Jonathan said to David, so David said, "Look, tomorrow is the new moon feast, and I'm supposed to dine with the king, but let me go and hide in the field until the evening of the day after tomorrow. If your father misses me, tell him, 'David earnestly asked my permission to hurry to Bethlehem, his hometown, because an annual sacrifice is being made there for the whole clan.' If he says, 'Very well,' then your servant is safe. But if he loses his temper, you can be sure that he's determined to harm me. As for you, show kindness to your servant, for you have brought him into a covenant with you before the Lord." Jonathan said to David, "I swear by the God of Israel that I will surely sound out my father by this time tomorrow. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. Show me unfailing kindness as long as I live so that I may not be killed. And do not cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. The next day, David's place was empty, and Saul didn't say anything. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, on the second day when it was empty, "Why has not the son of Jesse come to the meal, either yesterday or today?" Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly asked me to leave and go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, for our clan holds a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to go there. So now, if I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away to see my brothers.' Then Saul's anger kindled, and he said, 'You, son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore, send and bring him to me, for he will surely die." Then Jonathan asked, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done? His father hurled a spear at him to strike him." So Jonathan knew his father was determined to put David to death. In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field to the appointment with David. And he said to his boy, "Run and find the arrows that I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow way beyond him. And Jonathan called after the boy, "Hurry, quick, do not stay." As soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. They kissed each other, one another, and wept with one another. David wept the most. Then Jonathan said, "Go in peace, because we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" And he rose and departed. Immediately after this happened, Jonathan realized that his intention was to reconcile David and his father. He loved them both very much. And Saul, even though Saul seemed to listen to Jonathan, he was lying. When he told him, David will never be put to death, that was a lie. But Jonathan believed it. And after this talk, Saul convinced Jonathan that he was sincere. And David convinces Jonathan to come back, and Saul allows him to come back. And right as this happened, an evil spirit came upon David again. And we know that Saul had no intention of keeping this oath. And the next thing that happened is he tries to kill David again. And David runs away. Even though Jonathan knows nothing about this, David runs home to his wife, Michal, who's also Saul's daughter. And Michal, who loves David, she helps him escape in the night. And when we read in scripture, we know that she loved David very much. And this would have been difficult for her. What made it more difficult is that her father set up the marriage with no intention for them to stay together. And he orchestrated the marriage thinking that she would be a snare for him. And David would be killed. So Saul had no good intentions for his daughter. He did not care about her, the fact that she loved David. He just appeared at her house accusing her of wrong and making it seem like she was not loyal to her father. The thing that he said to her was, "Why have you deceived me thus and let my enemy go so that he's escaped?" He was making her feel that she had done something wrong, and he was really accusing her, you know, and using this word, making her choose between what was right and her father and what he wanted. And what we can see in this story, it's kind of a sad story, because we can see that Saul uses guilt and power over his own children. He actually uses it to get his children to do what he wants. And he actually accuses them. And he uses the intimidation over his own daughter. He makes her choose and makes her go against the truth. So what Saul did was he used guilt, and his daughter was trying to stand up for what is right, but he's attacking her. And as I said, he makes her feel guilty and makes her choose between her husband and her father. He deceived her at the highest level. He didn't care about her happiness or her future. And even though her husband was a righteous person who had never done anything wrong to Saul, Saul still attacks him. And sometimes when someone wants to stand up for something that is right, or when they want to speak up for something that is not right, sometimes people can use their words, guilt, and power, scolding, to stop that from happening, to make the person be silenced or think that they are wrong instead of the person who's actually wrong. An example of this could be, for example, an abused woman whose husband abused her, and she went to make a police report, but the husband makes her feel guilty for doing that and makes her feel that she did something wrong by standing up to him. And this is the level of deception that Saul actually used over his own daughter. He makes her question herself and makes her feel guilty for standing up and doing what is right. And all the while this is happening, Jonathan he's kept in the dark. He does not know that this is happening. He does not know that David fled in the night, and he doesn't know what Saul's doing to David and his sister. And After David runs away to Naoth, Saul even goes to the extent of looking for him there. And just like God always protects David, God protected David in Naoth. Saul sent messenger after messenger to take David. But God sent his spirit, and the spirit of God came on these men, and they started prophesying. That happened 3 times. It even happened to Saul. So after this happened, David knows that he's not safe in Naoth, even though he's with Samuel. He runs back to Gibeah to Jonathan, and he's asking Jonathan, "What have I done to be treated this way by your father?" And Jonathan thought that his father had repented, but he didn't, because Saul wanted Jonathan to think that he had repented, but he really hadn't. And at this point in the story, David is asking Jonathan to do the right thing. He's asking him to stand up for him. And he's asking him to go against his father without spelling it out. And he reminds Jonathan of the covenant that they made before God. The covenant that before God, they swore to keep their loyalty with God. And Jonathan is really being tested at this point, his loyalty to God. It's not an easy situation for him to be in. But Jonathan wants to do the right thing. And he knew deep down that David had done nothing wrong. He has served his father loyally. He never made any attempt to step ahead of God or take the kingdom away. And David was gently trying to break the news to Jonathan that his father had been hiding the truth from him. So even though Jonathan is not fully convinced, he trusts David and he says, I'm gonna listen to you and I'm gonna use your plan. So David comes up with a plan and he says, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna test your father, and I'm not going to go to the banquet that I will be expected to be at. And then when we see your father's reaction, we will know if your father really wants to kill me or if he has repented. And again, they make this covenant to each other. If I'm still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die. And Jonathan's talking about the future when David is going to be king. Do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever, when the Lord cuts off every one of David's enemies. So David goes and hides in the field, and Jonathan shows up at the banquet. And on the first day, Saul doesn't say anything. But on the second day, he notices again that David is not there. And Saul began to ask Jonathan, where is he? Where is the son of Jesse? So Jonathan answered Saul. He earnestly asked for leave to go to Bethlehem. He asked, if I have found favor in your eyes, let me go. This is why he's not come to the king's table. In a rage, Saul shouted, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? Saul plays the loyalty card with his son and asks him to go against what is right, to go against God and do what his father wants. He is saying that Jonathan is going to be a threat to our future, to your future. And I'm asking you to stand with me and not him. He's trying to make his son feel guilty, but he knows deep down that this is not what God would want. So Jonathan has a choice. And to put it in a kind of a real life situation for us, I was having a conversation with Pastor Adam, and you know, we were talking about this whole manipulation of leadership. And you know, we talked about, he shared with me, you know, a story. What if in leadership, if one of your leaders came to you who you respected and had a close relationship with and said, you caught them doing something wrong. You caught them stealing, or you caught them making use of someone. But that person said to you, that leader, you know me, we're close. Don't say anything. Don't tell anyone. This is not a big deal. It's not going to make a big difference. This is actually an abuse of power that this leader would be using. And this is terrible when it's coming from a leader. But imagine if it was coming from your own father, it would be worse. And this is really the equivalent of what Saul is doing. He's using guilt and he's trying to make his son feel guilty, using his own position to go against what he knows is not right and what his son knows is not right. And this is a situation that parents should never put their children in. And Saul is literally telling him, he's going to take away your kingdom. And Jonathan sees the intentions of his father's heart are not to stand for truth or to do what's right. And when Jonathan stands up to him, Saul hurls a spear at his own son. And Jonathan realized that his father, who his father really was in this moment. Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food for the rest of the feast. He was grieved for David because his father had disgraced David and even tried to kill him. He must have been very hurt to know that his own father would go to this level of betrayal. He was asking his own children to stand against God and truth. And I have seen examples of women and children whose parents have used guilt and their parental role to get them to do things that they wanted them to do. So for example, when a woman wants to study, or when she has a chance to go to school or have a good opportunity at her future, her parents would use guilt and manipulation to keep her close to them so they could serve their own needs. And this is a very heartbreaking scenario that some people have to face, which is actually what's happening in the story. Especially because most children will do anything to receive their parents' attention and approval. They often don't want to see the truth about their parents. And parents can manipulate this love their children have for them to make them question and go against what is right. And it's very hurtful to see when parents don't sincerely love their children. And this lack of love can affect their relationships into their adulthood. And sadly, that's what's happening in the story here. So to go back to the story, just to finish up, David has to go back and tell, or Jonathan has to go back and tell David the news. David is waiting for him in the field. And he brings with him a young boy. I think we all know the story. If he shoots the arrows before him, then Saul changed his heart. But we know that that didn't happen. So as the boy shot the arrows, it went beyond him. And David knew Saul's reaction based on where the arrows fell. And as soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. And David and Jonathan kissed and wept. David wept the most. And they said to each other, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever. David rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. And Jonathan knew that nothing could be found wrong with David's behavior to justify his father's decision to put him to death. And choosing to stand and do the right thing rather than going along with what his father wanted was a situation that forged Jonathan's identity that day. Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 10:12, what does God require of Israel? To love the Lord your God, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. Jonathan had a difficult choice. Putting anyone above God and being asked to do what they want over what God wants is a challenge that we will all face. It's a difficult challenge. But God says to honor him first. We all want to please our parents and make them proud of us. But when it means, in this case, doing what our parents want is different than what God wants, we have to trust God and make a choice. It's disappointing when we see that a person blessed by God, called by God, like Saul, could give up his sacred role of being the first king of Israel. And if we, just like Saul, if we follow the narrative that he believed to be true, which was not God's narrative, it led him to, the way he lived his life turned him into a person who didn't even care about his own children. And if this kind of narrative that he created for himself can cause this kind of destruction in his life, what destruction for us can charting our own path cause in our lives and cause in the lives of others in our circle? We can become like Saul too. Sometimes we think that it's too difficult to follow God's path for our lives. It might be easier to do things not his way, but we don't realize the good, the love that he has for us and how it will affect us and those around us when we don't trust God and listen to him. Satan is God's enemy, and he knows that God created his most special creation, us, so we could have a close relationship with God. And Satan hates God, and he knows the only way to hurt him is by turning us not to trust him, to do our own way. And we know that Satan's intentions from the very beginning have been to get people to not trust God and to go away from him. But just like in the midst of this story, all the pain, the suffering, all the horrible things that David and Jonathan, even Michal, went through, God protected David and Jonathan, and God never broke his promise to them. David was in wars and battles, and he kept being in life-threatening situations, but God still protected him. He never broke his covenant with David, and God never breaks the covenants that he makes with us. He will honor them when we stand in faith with him. So I just want to close with some of the themes that we learned tonight were the depth of deception that can happen when and hurt when we follow our own path. And also that God uses godly relationships to help us stay on course when others are trying to pull us away from God. Saul made everyone else think that they had done wrong when actually he was the one who did wrong. And Jonathan couldn't see it, but Jonathan and David's friendship was used to help Jonathan see the truth. And the covenant they made before God helped them to stay on the right path. David was a great encouragement to Jonathan when his own father had lost the blessing and leadership that he originally had been given, when Jonathan met David, it must have been like a breath of fresh air to see someone who loved God. And God used Jonathan to save David's life many times. And their friendship was a means of strength and support. They found great strength in each other. And a friendship is something that gives support between two people. They help each other. And for me personally, there have been many godly friendships that I have experienced that have helped me to stay on the right track with God. There are times when I've experienced moments of discouragement, and it was the friendships with many of you in this group that helped me to stay faithful to God. Those relationships and conversations helped me to finish my education, to pursue my education, and helped me to live a life that has meaning and not live just for myself, but to learn how to care and nurture other people. That's what friendships have been for me. And when we really learn what godly friendships are, when we become vulnerable with God and with others in godly relationships, we share the deepest parts of ourselves and we let others speak into our lives. It brings great changes in our lives, just like a pottery wheel. God uses friendships to encourage us to say the good things, the encouraging things, the difficult things that we really need to be shaped into that pottery that God wants us to be. And when you let another person be open with you, it helps you grow and helps push you forward. Jonathan and David's friendship was not a relationship of convenience or emotion. It was true covenant relationship. They loved and trusted each other, and they were committed to each other. And when Jonathan was put in a very difficult situation, and David was put in a very difficult situation, their friendship helped them to obey God, knowing that if they trusted God, he would protect them. So in closing, God never breaks his relationships with us. And the covenant that they made is a representation of what we have with God, that he's never going to leave us. And the friendships that he wants us to have will help us to keep our lives on track and help us to support each other. This is really what true friendship and relationship does with God and with each other. So let's pray. God, we thank you that even though we live in a world sometimes that does not always recognize you and your ways, we are tempted to do our own thing. We are tempted to run away from the covenants, the promises that you make with us because of fear, God, because of doubt, and because of we don't think that you can use us. And God, we just want to thank you tonight that your power is greater than any thirst for power that this world has. Your power is stronger, and you want us to experience these covenant relationship with you and your word and other people. And God, we know that there are some of us who have experienced hurt, and we find it difficult to trust people. We find it difficult to believe. But God, we do pray that you would give us that assurance that you are a God who can be trusted. And you want to teach us what real love and real friendship is. And you want to shine through us to love other people, God. We ask tonight that you would help us to keep our commitments, to honor the commitments that we have made before you. And you would encourage us, God, to make commitments, to not be afraid. You are going to be with us. We can trust people. We can trust you. And God, we do ask tonight that you would bring your healing, restorative, covenant love into our lives, that we would never mistrust what you tell us to do, because you are good and you are faithful. And you have a beautiful, wonderful plan if we can trust you tonight. So we want to ask for trust, that we would trust you tonight, Father, with our lives, that we would not live with this narrative in our head that what you tell us to do is not good. We want to confess tonight that we trust you, we love you, and we want to honor you with our lives, because you are really the hope that makes us want to keep going, to go on. So we ask tonight that you would use us to bring that healing into other people's lives. And we would find that healing in your love.
Heavenly Father, we praise you. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to lift up those who are not well, dear Lord. We continue to lift up Siyu and Jaden to your hands. We just pray, Lord Father, that you continue to minister to this family, that you continue, Lord, to reveal your glory and your goodness, and that you continue, Lord Father, to even be with Ipoye and her parents and all of them, dear Lord Father, as they undertake, Lord, the different responsibilities, Lord. Dear Lord, we pray, Lord Father, that there will be healing, that there will be salvation, that your glory and your goodness, Lord, will be seen, Lord Father, and that you would meet their needs and you would guide them in this path, dear Lord. We also want to lift up Rico's father and brother into your hands, and we just pray, Lord, for total healing. We also pray, Lord Father, that you would be with Rico's mom, especially dealing with the news about her husband and her son, and and all the responsibilities she has undertaken, dear Lord. Dear God, we just look to you, Lord Father, that you would strengthen her, that you would guide her, dear Lord, that you would be with Rico, with Yatwai, that you would use all of them, Lord Father, and provide opportunities, Lord, from the our church and from your people, Lord, to stand with them. We also pray, Lord Father, that even as they go through this, there is so much questions about suffering, about life, and we pray, Lord Father, that you would reveal, Lord, who you are, and take hold of your hands, Lord Father, and walk them through, Lord, the season. I want to lift up Rowena's auntie also into your hands. I just pray for healing, dear Lord. You only can intervene, Lord, in this situation, and we put her, Lord, into your good hands, dear Lord Father. I lift up Suva. I just pray for total healing of a knee, dear Lord. I just pray also, Lord Father, that you would guide her, that you would strengthen her, that you would also help her, Lord Father, even as she goes to the doctor and even as she does the physio, dear Lord Father, that you would bless all these processes, Lord Father, and there would be restoration, dear God. I also lift up Raghu into your hands, dear God. I just pray, Lord Father, that you heal him. That he will recover, Lord, totally from this chicken pox. And we thank you, dear Lord, that this is not the COVID. And we just lift up this child into your hands, dear God, Father. We pray, Lord, that he will know you. We pray for his salvation. We pray for his protection, dear Lord. We pray for Rita, that even as she has to care for her children, we just pray for your grace and your strength, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that you will guide them, Lord, in the season, Lord Father. We thank you. Dear Lord, we just want to lift up your name. We pray, Lord Father, that what we heard today will speak to our hearts. We pray, we as parents, dear Lord, will understand the power of our words and understand the role, Lord, of that you have given us, dear God. And we pray, Lord, that we will truly consider, Lord, Father, what we need to do, Lord. And we will align our loyalties with you, dear God. We pray, Lord, Father, that we will not allow our own ambitions, our own insecurities to blind us, dear Lord. And we pray, Lord, Father, that we will learn to do the right thing, believing, Lord, that it's you who are glorified, dear Lord. And also we pray that we will consider what loyalty means, dear Lord, Father. And it requires us to be honorable, Lord, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the examples here. And we truly know, Lord, that our society today needs people who are honorable, who'll do things the right way, who'll say things the right way, who'll have the right intentions, dear God. And we pray, Lord, Father, that you would continue to sow these seeds in our hearts, dear Lord, because you have dealt with us in a very honorable way, Lord, Father. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn, Lord, how to express such thoughts and how to make such decisions and express such language, Lord, in our homes, in our working places, in our neighborhoods, dear Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're teaching us and guiding us, dear Lord. We truly appreciate and truly are grateful, Lord, for the depth and the richness of your word, Lord. So we pray, Lord, Father, that we will continue to meditate and these words will bear fruit, Lord, in our lives. That we will see, Lord, your goodness, your blessings, Lord, flourish in our lives as we allow your word, Lord, to guide us and to teach us, dear Lord. We thank you that we can gather here today in your name. We pray, Lord, even as the CMCO has been extended, we just continue to pray that you would guide us in the season, that you continue to speak to us as how we can minister to people, that you help us also even this Christmas season, that we will truly be mindful of your presence and of the message that Christmas brings, Lord, to each one of us. Dear Lord, we are looking to you, Lord Father, and we pray that even as we are in our homes, every person, Lord, will continue to experience you in a special way, Lord Father. We also pray that we continue to build relationships and reach out to each other in your love, dear God. We thank you, Father. Let your blessings be upon every person. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.